Sairam children, we are happy to welcome you to yet another episode of Your Children's Hour.
Sairam children, nice to be back with you after a whole week. Hope you all had a busy yet enjoyable week at school, children.
Oh, is it possible to be busy and also enjoy at the same time, Prem?
That's a good question indeed. If we are really, really busy, then how do we find time to enjoy? We need to take a break to enjoy, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We do need a holiday. And how can we enjoy when we have school or we have to go to work and our whole day is filled?
No, children. Enjoying yourself, being happy or cheerful has nothing got to do with you being busy or free.
Yes. Let us explain. What is your favorite game? Let's say, for example, your favorite game is tennis. When you play tennis, from the time you enter the court and start the game until the time you finish playing, say an hour later, you are constantly standing or running.
You exert yourself, you are sweating profusely, you just do not relax even for a moment. Sometimes you might even fall down and sustain a bruise or two. You still continue playing, isn't it?
And after playing like this, did you ever feel, oh, I had to run so much. I could not take rest. I just could not take a break and enjoy. Why is that so? Because you enjoy playing itself. Though physically it tired you, isn't it?
And what more? After going out and playing like this, you feel so refreshed that when you come back and sit for your studies in the evening, you feel so relaxed and even can study even better, isn't it?
Doesn't that mean we don't have to relax and do nothing to enjoy ourselves? We can enjoy ourselves even when we are occupied with some work.
The trick is, when we enjoy what we do, we can always be happy. Take our own example, Ganesh. How busy a day is Thursday for us?
Oh, definitely it is one of the busiest days for me, Prem. And I have work from morning to night on Thursdays.
Me too. Thursdays are definitely the busiest day of the week for me. But still, when we come to talk with all of you children on Children's Hour, we are so happy.
That's true, Prem. Though it has been a tiring day, we are also enjoying the Thursdays. Because we enjoy what we do. So children, that's an important tip for you. Whatever you do, try to enjoy it. Don't do it with the idea, oh, I have to do this boring work. Then it will become all the more difficult for you to do.
Instead, find some way to enjoy what you do. Then the work will become a play. You know children, what happens when you don't learn this trick of enjoying what you do? You will get stressed.
Hey, no, don't worry about stress, children. Then you will get more stressed.
Then when you get stressed, it'll lead to more worry. We are just joking, children. None of you have to worry about that now. But it is a good idea to know about this problem of stress.
Though it is not caused by any virus or bacteria, though it does not happen because of any organic failure, stress can be as bad a threat to our health and well-being as any other disease, children.
And that is why Dr. Lata Shri, as always, is here with us and she's going to talk to us about stress today. She's also going to teach us a technique of how to tackle this stress. So listen carefully, children.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram, children. Children, after having learnt about various organ systems in the human body, their functions and some of the important diseases associated with these systems, today we shall learn about a very important entity that causes about 70% of physical illnesses. It is nothing but stress. Stress-induced illness is on the rise because of modern day lifestyle. Stress can be defined as a non-specific response of the body to any demand made on it. When our mind and the body fail to cope up with a demanding situation, we tend to develop illness. And children are also no exception to this. They are subjected to various types of stress. For instance, pressure to excel academically, unrealistic expectations from their parents regarding their studies, co-curricular activities, extracurricular activities, and even peer pressure, and also stress caused by over-usage of electronic gadgets, television, computer, video games, social network. Because of all this, their priorities are misplaced these days. They don't know what is right and what is good for them. And this itself can cause stress in them, especially during examinations and fear of failure and competition in every walk of life that they face. All has added to stress. And we can say the entire human race is on a rat race and is under the threat of not atom bombs, but stress bombs. All these types of stress can cause anxiety, depression, and fatigue in children, which manifests in the form of tiredness, weakness, lack of interest in studies, sleep disturbances, lack of appetite, and also various kinds of aches and pains all over the body. And the stress can also aggravate physical illnesses in children. So, children should be taught from a very young age the techniques to train their body and the mind to successfully cope up with stress. And one such technique which is of immense help is relaxation technique. It is a very useful, effective and simple method to de-stress ourselves. You can lie down in a comfortable position or even sit in a comfortable way and then slowly take deep breaths and slowly exhale. As you breathe in, tell yourself that you are breathing in positivity, and when you breathe out, you are bringing out all the negativity that is present within you. And after this, by giving suggestions to each and every part of the body, relax slowly, one by one, the different parts of the body, starting from head to toe. As you do this, you feel your body relaxing, and as the body relaxes, the mind automatically relaxes, and this will further relax the body, and this cycle continues. This relaxation technique, when practiced regularly and every day, gives excellent results, and it helps us to overcome some of our physical responses to a stressful situation like anxiety symptoms. These are: our heart starts beating when we suddenly feel tense, our breathing becomes rapid and shallow, our hands start trembling, the mouth goes dry, we start panting, and we have a sinking feeling in the pit of the stomach, and all these are anxiety responses. And we will not know what to do in that situation, and we may even go blank. And all these undesirable responses of the body can be successfully overcome with regular practice of relaxation technique, and we will remain calm and composed when faced with stressful situations, and we will be in a position to think judiciously and tackle the situation. Another important technique that helps us to cope up with stress is regular practice of meditation. I will tell you some of the medical benefits of meditation. By regular meditation, heart rate, respiratory rate, basal metabolic rate of the body, and also blood pressure are reduced. And the biological rhythm of the body gets stabilized. The coordination between the body and the mind is strengthened. Muscle tension is considerably reduced, and the coordination between the two hemispheres of the brain gets strengthened. Mental tension reduces considerably, so this helps the body to cope up with stressful situations. And meditation is an excellent tonic for the brain, the nervous system, and the mind, because the mind becomes calm and steady. It enhances our memory power and our ability to focus and concentrate. And not only this, our creativity, alertness, intuition, they are all enhanced by regular practice of meditation. Meditation also improves our willpower, and this helps us to overcome bad habits easily. So we can say meditation prepares us to successfully fight stress and also stress-related psychosomatic diseases. I will tell you about the technique of meditation next week. So children, from today, start practicing relaxation technique to stay calm, composed, and to stay focused on your goal. Jai Sai Ram.
And let us thank the doctor for those very, very important tips, children. And do catch up next week and learn the meditation technique she has promised to teach us.
Meditation is a very good stress buster, children, and there is nothing like learning it early in life. Okay, we told you one way of not getting stressed with everyday activities is to find ways of doing things happily. What do you think, Ganesh? Will you be able to suggest some technique? What do you do? Okay, let me give you a situation. Let's say your mother asks you to clean your room.
Oh my God.
And let us say it is not something you enjoy doing.
Of course.
What will you do then?
That's a very interesting situation, Prem. And I'm sure all of us have been in that situation sometime or the other. One thing I usually do is play some music in the background, enjoy the music, and simultaneously finish my work.
Oh, that's a very nice idea, Ganesh.
But there is an even better technique I have, Prem.
Really? What is that?
Even better than playing music, I hum or sing a bhajan as I am doing my work. There is nothing more fun and relaxing than that.
Ganesh, you have given our children a very important technique today. Who doesn't like music? And Swami's bhajans are so simple and soothing that anyone can sing and all can enjoy.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you remember, Prem, even when we used to travel to the villages to do gram seva, we used to sing bhajans in the vehicle and we would forget all the fatigue of the journey.
Very true. In fact, Ganesh, I remember one particular bhajan we would always sing when we would travel by bus to Puttaparthi from Bangalore. It is a very nice bhajan, children. Any guesses what bhajan it is? Okay, I will only tell you what it is. It is a bhajan that goes, Hari Naam Gaate Chalo.
Oh, that's a very nice bhajan. It means, keep singing the name of God and going. Definitely a good bhajan to sing while traveling, isn't it?
Om Shri Sai Ram.
Vithala, Jai Sai Vithala.
Children, singing bhajans or listening to bhajans and doing your work is definitely a very good stress buster.
And in general, children, Swami says, if we develop the practice of namasmarana and learn to do it all times, it will keep our minds ever calm and stress-free.
Well, you don't have to take our word for it. You try it out for yourself and see, children, how it works like magic.
But Prem, have you noticed one thing? Our mothers are the most busiest people we have ever observed. They are always working, cooking, doing something or the other. But how is it that they don't get as stressed as they must be? Isn't that so surprising?
That's a very interesting point you have raised, Ganesh. And I think in the answer to that question is one more tip to lead a happy life and enjoy every moment. Children, whatever our mothers do, they do it for us. They stand in the kitchen and cook for 2 or 3 hours, but we finish the food in few minutes.
But still, they are so happy because they are doing it for us. And when our mothers do it for us, it just does not seem to stress them out. And that's right. Now I know what is the next tip. When we do something which can help another or put a smile on another's face, it gives us so much joy and fills us with fresh energy.
Exactly. Nothing can give more joy than helping others, children, or sharing what we have with another person. But the catch is, unless you try it out, you will never ever know.
Oh, yes. I remember reading a quote somewhere. It says, the joy of helping others is like skydiving. Those who have not done skydiving will never know the thrill and joy of it. But those who have done it will know there is no thrill or joy equal to it.
Oh, that's a perfect description of the joy of giving and sharing, Ganesh.
Mm-hmm.
And children, the story today is also just about this, sharing. So are you ready to listen to it as Sumna Madam narrates it for us?
Sairam children, the story I'm going to tell today may have happened a long, long time ago. But it is very relevant in the present times also. A little boy asked his father, "Daddy, what is the difference between gods and demons?" The father smiled and said to his little son, "Son, I will organize a big banquet at our residence where I will invite both the gods and the demons. At the end of the banquet, you will get your answer." The next day, the father sent out invitations to both the gods and the demons. And on the appointed day, a most lavish banquet was organized, and hundreds of gods and hundreds of demons arrived at their home. The demons were an impatient lot, very disorganized and noisy. They asked the host that they wanted a VIP, very important person treatment, and therefore wanted to have their food served first, and those gods could eat after that. The father, being a host, agreed to their request, but he put a condition. What was that condition? The demons would have to tie a narrow wooden plank to both their arms while eating. The demons were surprised, but anyway, they were eager to begin eating. So they quickly put another condition, that the same condition should be applicable to the gods as well. Then they had no objection to tying the wooden planks on both their arms when eating. Now all the demons had wooden planks tied to both their hands, and they immediately sat on the floor, seating one next to the other in a straight line. They were very eager to be served with the delicious foods. The first course of food arrived. It was the best smelling soup in a bowl with a spoon. The demons quickly filled the spoons with the soup, and then they realized that they could not bend their elbows to bring the spoons to their mouths due to that wooden plank. They tried to lift their hands over their heads and tilt the spoon with their mouths wide open, but all they got was a soup falling in their eyes and all over their face, and also their expensive garments. The demons got noisier, became angry, and started swearing at the host. A chaos broke out. Some of the demons wanted to beat up the host. Some demons tried to restrain the other demons, and they started fighting amongst themselves. Finally, the demons agreed that it was totally useless for them to remain at this banquet, as it was not possible to eat the food without bending their arms. They were messing up with their beautiful and expensive garments. So the demons accused the host and angrily left the banquet. As per the condition, it was now the turn of the gods to sit down to eat. The gods were of a peaceful nature. They also sat in a row on the floor, just like the demons had. Both their arms were also tied with the wooden planks. When the first course of food was served, which was a delicious soup, the gods first recited the food prayer. Then as they held the spoon and scooped the soup, the gods too realized that they could not bend their arms, and therefore it was impossible to eat the soup. Yet the gods remained calm. Each of them thought, "Never mind, if I cannot lift the soup towards my mouth, as my elbow cannot be bent, but I can surely lift the spoon towards the mouth of my fellow brother who is seated next to me, and I can feed him. Here no bending of elbow is required." Thus, the gods turned towards each other and started feeding the other. Soon a circle of the gods, each feeding his neighbor, had formed. They thus enjoyed the most delicious soup. Then they went through the 5-course meal and enjoyed the delicious dishes. They fed the other and got fed too. Thus, they ate to their heart's content. Then they thanked the host, presented the host with the gifts they had brought, and peacefully went back to their homes. The son was observing all that happened, and the father explained him that a major difference between the gods and the demons was the difference in their attitude of giving and the attitude of taking. The demons thought only about their individual self-interest, whereas the gods thought about selflessly serving the others. When you open your heart and give selflessly, you receive much more than you give. Children, we should all cultivate this attitude of learning to give. Only one who gives deserves to take. The person who gives with his heart will be welcome everywhere. Remember, what we take and enjoy is lost in a second, but what we give and share will stay with us forever in the form of satisfaction, mental peace and joy. And such a happy heart is the favorite place of God. Children, I hope you enjoyed this story. Sai Ram.
And that was an interesting story. I don't know if you noticed it, children. There was a hint in that story of one more tip to make our work and activity enjoyable. Did you notice it, children?
Well, it must have been very subtle for you to have caught it, children. So let us explain. What did the gods do before eating their food, which the demons did not do? They chanted the food prayer, isn't it? Do you know the food prayer, children?
It is the Brahmarpanam prayer we must chant before eating food. Oh, some of you don't know Brahmarpanam. No problem, children. Listen now. We will play that shloka for you.
Om Brahmarpanam Brahmahavih Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashritaha Pranapanasamayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham Om Shanti Shanti shantihi.
You all should inculcate the habit of chanting this prayer before eating food, children. Maybe some other time we will teach you this prayer slowly and also tell you more about the need to pray before eating.
And coming back to our discussion on enjoying what we do, do you know why we refer to this act by the God's children? If we do whatever we do as an offering to God, it is one more way we can enjoy what we do.
So, when you study, if you pray to Swami, saying that, Swami, I offer this act of studying at your feet, please accept it. When you do this, you will tend to study with more interest and sincerity, because you cannot offer something that is imperfect, isn't it?
So, we have learnt some very interesting tips today, children. But now, it is time for the most interesting part of the program, the conversation with a kid. And this week, we have a kid from America. Come, let us listen to what she had to share with us.
Sairam children, welcome to this week's Children's Hour. And this week too, we have a very interesting child in our studio. So, join me in welcoming her to our Children's Hour. Sairam.
Sairam.
Would you like to introduce yourself to all our listeners?
Okay. My name is Vibha Gopala Krishnan, and I'm going to join 7th class.
And you're from?
America.
Which,
New York.
Which place? New York. Right. Your name is Vibha. You know the meaning of your name?
Radiance and glow.
Sorry?
Radiance and glow.
Radiance and glow. You know the word Vibha is there in the Vedas?
No.
You know what? In what context it's used? It is radiance, it is glow. But you know what context it is used?
No.
It is supposed to be the first light which came out from God. The primordial light. So which means, and we always associate light with intelligence. So is Vibha very intelligent?
I think so.
You think so? Yeah, and your mom was just telling me how well you've done in your school exams in New York.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us what are your achievements, that secret achievements that is so hidden in your simplicity?
I have honor rolls for 2 semesters, and I got Superior Recognition Award for academics, and yeah, that's about it.
So that's a lot. And New York is a big state.
Yes.
Is it one of the biggest states in the United States?
I don't know.
Okay, but nevertheless, it's a very good achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So on behalf of all our listeners, first of all, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So how do you study? I mean, do you like study?
I don't study at all.
You don't study at all? You don't like the company of books?
I like to read novels, but I don't like non-fiction books. So I don't read textbooks or anything.
You're not so interested in academics. Then
no.
How are you scoring so much? You must share the secret then.
Because I listen to my teachers, so I just have to finish my homework, and by that time I have everything in my head, so I can write the test without having to study.
But your classmates must be asking, right? How do you do this? How are you able to ace all your exams?
I just tell them it's magic.
Nothing more? You don't attribute it to anything else?
Well, a lot of it goes to my mom, because she helped me through the younger years, and my dad too, because he helps me with math and science, and Swami, because he's always there when I do my homework and tests and everything. Okay. I do.
When you're a student, and let's say you're good at one or two subjects, let's say if I'm good at biology, I might like to become a doctor, or if I'm good at mathematics, I might think of becoming an astrophysicist or something like that. If you're good at all subjects, then it's a big problem, right? Like you. So what do you want to become?
I haven't decided yet. I think I'll just choose something that I score the highest in and find something that I'm interested in so I don't feel bored.
Do you think you'll do well as a teacher?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Why?
I'm not good at teaching.
Okay, what do you think it takes to be a good teacher?
You have to be patient with the students. If they don't understand something, you have to reteach them. And you can't just read a textbook out loud to them because they won't understand it. You have to explain everything. Which I am patient enough with kids, but I'm not good at explaining things.
You're not good at explaining things.
I'm not good at explaining things.
So you have some teacher at school who's your favorite teacher, who fits all these descriptions that you just gave us?
Yeah, my math teacher, Mrs. Munger.
So you like maths?
Yes,
we generally have a good teacher. You tend to like the subject that they teach.
I like it very much.
Does she teach you mathematics differently or just the usual?
We have a big book and she does the first, it has questions in it, and then she does the first page with us and she explains everything to us many times so it doesn't get out of our heads, and we know how to do it for homework also. So it helps me do better in math.
Okay. Okay, so you were, when I asked you how you do well in studies, you said it's because of your mom, she helps you a lot. You told me what makes a good teacher. What makes a good mom?
She's very kind, loving. She has to be strict at times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a very good teacher.
She's a very good teacher?
For me, especially for me.
Okay. So is that all it takes to be a good mom? I'm asking in general. You described your mom to me. In general, what does it take to be a good mother?
Just being kind, loving, patient, and being strict at times to make sure that the child knows is a good person at the end of the day.
You mean to say a good mother is one who trains you to be a good person at the end of the day?
By showing love and kindness.
Okay, what makes a good person then?
A person who's patient with everyone, who doesn't react to everything, very kind, very loving, who understands people very well, and who, yeah, that's about it.
From going by all your descriptions, a good person should either be a teacher or a mother. Because the same thing you said for all three of them.
Yeah, I guess. Not really. You can be a good person otherwise also.
Okay. So
like in your daily life.
Right. So it takes the same set of things to make a good person, a good teacher, a good doctor, a good mother, a good father, right?
Yes.
So what do we call those same basic things which makes a good person?
Values.
Values?
I guess. Yeah, values.
Okay, so as a student, I'm sure you're going to, you attend SSC classes?
Yes.
Right? So when you go to school, you must be meeting a lot of other children who don't probably read about values. Of course, they will be taught values by their parents at home.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any difference?
They have a different way of approaching different things.
Mm-hmm.
Which students who attend SSC might think differently from them.
Mm-hmm.
So really when I go to school, I can see so many contrasts between us, but we always get along well because there's always one person who understands the other.
So even if you're the understanding person, it helps.
Yeah. As long as you don't disagree on something and create a big problem.
Mm-hmm. So Weba, do you have siblings? Brothers,
no.
Sisters? No.
I'm the only child.
You're the only spoiled child. Are you?
Yeah.
No strictness from your parents then?
There is strictness when they need to be, especially when it comes to being a good person and doing well in academics. Other than that, both of my parents are very free and loving.
Okay, you're repeating again, being a good person. What possible way is there you not being a good person? I don't see that at all. Where could you be going wrong when they correct you then? You can think of any instance?
When I don't do so well in my homework and I get a pretty awful grade.
That must be once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Must be really rare.
Yeah. That
so a good person should be a topper in school.
No, not all the time. You can be good without being a topper, because I know all of my best friends are not necessarily toppers in school, but they all are very kind-hearted towards everyone they meet.
Right, then not getting good scores is not being bad enough to be strict with.
And I've never been yelled at or anything for doing anything bad because I don't come to that, really. Because I always know what I'm doing. And I don't really do anything wrong, I guess. So my parents don't really have to think about me being a good person because they trust that I am a good person by heart.
That's nice. Have you, if you're a topper, there's a chance you could have been the monitor in your school or something?
No, we don't have those.
You don't have those?
But my teachers normally keep me, like, in charge of things in their classroom because they know I'm responsible.
So you've had to deal with any difficult friends, classmates?
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of those in second grade especially.
Okay.
But overall, I learned how to ignore them and continue with my daily life without them affecting me.
Okay, that's one means of handling it, right? You ignore the people who are troublemakers.
Second, I think you can tell them how you feel, and then maybe then they'll stop, or you can just confront a teacher or your parents.
Okay, so these are the ways you used to deal with them.
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been in India now?
A month.
Mm-hmm.
A month.
You visit India often? Every year?
Almost.
Almost. So if I ask you to give me two differences between the US and India, what would they be? Why you like US more than India? Why you like India more than US?
I like US more than India because I think...
Anything on the top of your mind?
I think the teachers are not strict at all with the students. They let them have their way, but they just send you through the principal's office and let the principal deal with you if you're out of control.
Okay.
So I really like that about the U.S. And about India, I've never studied in an Indian school, really. So about India, I like the ice creams a lot.
You like the ice creams a lot.
They're a lot better than US.
Are they? Oh, that's nice.
Especially Pratis.
Pratis, okay. It may be more to do with the weather.
I guess.
You really relish ice cream in this weather more than in the US. So given a choice, you would like to settle in India?
Yeah. After
just
I study
ice creams
in
is
US.
Too much to settle for.
No. I think it's more because I'm born here and this is my country and I can never be an American by heart anytime. So I'll always come back to India.
Okay. So have you had any American friends asking you what's special about India?
No, not really. No.
Or if somebody were to ask you,
they don't really care about that. If you're Indian, it's just another thing because there's so many Indians there, they got used to it.
Right. So if someone were to ask you, you know, why do you keep going back to India? What's so special about India?
I think I would say all of my family members here. It's very nice to meet them after a year and have fun.
Mm-hmm. So you have all your cousins here?
Mm-hmm.
Love meeting them.
Yeah.
Do you sing?
Yes.
Do you go for classes?
Yes.
What classes? What singing do you learn?
Carnatic. But I stopped.
How many years did you learn?
6 years.
That's a lot. You must have learned a lot.
Yeah, and then I stopped because I was focusing more on violin.
Oh, you learn violin too? My God, you're a topper at school, a topper in your state. And then you learn music and you learn singing and violin. That's a lot. How do you manage your time?
My school hours is almost 8 hours, more than other kids because I'm in all accelerated classes.
Okay.
So I have to go to school sometimes earlier and stay back at school later. And then after that, my homework takes about 1 to 2 hours, so I finish that quickly. And then I take a little break, eat dinner at 5 o'clock. We have early dinner there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I have violin classes, tennis classes, swimming classes, all of that.
You seem to be having more than 24 hours in your day then.
And then a big chunk of my day after I come home, I have to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I read for almost 1 hour.
Okay.
Before sleeping.
So who's your favorite author?
Indian author?
Anybody. Could be anybody.
I don't have one because I like all books.
Okay, what's the last book that you read?
I think it's Pure.
Mm-hmm. The name of the book is Pure.
Yeah. It's based on a girl who... It's based on Greek mythology.
Okay.
So the girl turns out to be like a daughter of a god. So mm-hmm. she has to deal with all of the things, all of the power she has, and she has to learn how to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to learn how to never give up in school, that the special school that she goes to.
Okay.
So I really like that book.
That's quite similar to what Swami tells us, isn't it?
Yeah.
In what way?
Swami tells us to never give up because he's always there for us, so mm-hmm. we should always have faith in Swami. And, yeah.
Yeah, because Swami, what does Swami say? That at the end of the day, all of you are my children.
Mm.
In that sense. When did you start reading? Have you been reading since you were young?
So oh, yeah.
Small kid?
Because I went to school in U.S. since, like, pre-K and kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading when I was 4, 5, and 6.
My
that
God.
Was the age for all of us. So we could okay. read more.
Okay. So then on an average, how many books do you read in a month? You get to finish?
5 to 6.
5 to 6 books in a month. You finish them. Okay. That's very nice. So what about if there's some children out there listening to all of us and they don't have the habit of reading? What would you suggest to them? How do you start a habit like reading? It's very good, right?
Find a book, I think, that you really like, and then try to find other books that are similar to it.
So what would you suggest for an 8-year-old who's not read books?
Like realistic fiction, something that they can relate to.
Okay, realistic fiction,
mm-hmm.
right? That's nice. So that's
like what they will, what problems they have in school and then how they get it solved, like those type of books.
Mm-hmm.
Be best, that's the type I read.
You remember any books like that?
I think Horrible Harry.
Horrible Harry?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
That one talks about a troublemaker kid and it's from that perspective. And all these other kids, it's a series and all these other kids hate him, but then at the end of the series, he figures out a way to make everybody his friends because he realizes that he's the one who makes it hard for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And you read Harry Potter too?
Yes.
The Horrible Harry to Harry Potter, isn't it? Where Harry becomes the hero.
Yeah.
So, it was so nice talking to you, but I'm not going to let you go till you sing a song for us.
A bhajan?
I think you should sing something more than a bhajan for us. Any song, any nice little song, your favorite song?
I don't have one.
Any song or Kirtana or something which you learned in your Carnatic classes?
I don't remember any of them.
Okay, then a nice favorite bhajan of yours.
Gopala Radha Lola, Gopala Radha Lola, Murali Lola Nandalala, Sai Murali Lola Nandalala, Gopala Radha Lola, Keshava Madhava Janardana, Keshava Madhava Janardana, Vanamala Vrindavana Bala, Vanamala Vrindavana Bala, Murali Lola Nandalala, Sai Murali Lola Nandalala, Gopala Radha Lola, Murali Lola Nandalala, Keshava Madhava Janardana, Vanamala Vrindavana Bala, Murali Lola Nandalala, Sai Murali Lola Nandalala, Gopala Radha Lola.
Thank you, Vibha. That was so sweet. So on behalf of all our listeners, all the best to you in whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
May you grow up to learn violin, music, whatever you do. And of course, I think you'll do well mm-hmm. all by yourself. May Swami be always with you. Thank you for being on the show, Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam.
And as always, we enjoyed that conversation with that child. It definitely is the highlight of our children's hour, isn't it, Prem?
Yes, of course. But if, children, you like some other segment of the program more, then you can let us know by writing to listener@radiosci.org. That is listener@radiosci.org.
We do hope you have learned some important lessons today, children. Shall we quickly have a recap of what we learnt? Firstly, it is not necessary to take a break to be happy or enjoy. We can enjoy even when we are busy.
And Swami says that change of work is the best rest. We can enjoy by learning. We can be happy by learning to enjoy whatever we do. And one good technique would be to sing or hum a bhajan when we go about doing our work.
Then the doctor taught us a technique of de-stressing ourselves. If we become stressed, then we spoke of how when we do little acts of kindness or sharing, it can give us a lot of joy and fill us with energy.
Then finally, we spoke of doing everything we do as an offering to God. So that would be a good point to conclude our program today, children.
Yes. We offer this children's hour at Swami's feet and thank you all for joining us today. Till we meet you again next week, we both take leave of you. Always be happy, good and loving. Sairam, children.
Sairam, children.